welcome to this church service. I'm Pastor Warren Hoyt, pastor of Beverly Hills Community Church. And this is COVID-19 church during this crisis thing that's going on. Worldwide, just about every church that I know of is doing their service in some kind of format like this online. And so that's what we're doing. Now, you'll notice this is not live. We're not doing Facebook Live today. We had a few glitches and problems. I'm not as familiar with that. So this is recorded. Lynn and I are here in our home, and we're just recording this together on Saturday to be replayed or rebroadcast on Sunday. But we just hope that you'll feel like we're all together in the living room or something, just having church together. And so even though it's a little artificial with a camera and all, and you're not all here in your physical presence, we're all together in the Lord. So we're going to just pray, and then I'm going to share a message with you from God's Word about this crisis and how we should respond to it. I wish we could all meet together as we usually do, but as I say, this is a crisis like never before. It's unprecedented, and it's okay, because you know what? A few years ago, we wouldn't have been able to do this because we wouldn't have had the technology that we have now. And so it's pretty cool in a way that we can still be together, even with a crisis. And I think it's also cool because there's probably other people joining this service, maybe some former church members of mine out in Texas. If so, I say hello to you. Or maybe some other folks in different parts of the country. So we just welcome everybody. There's no distance with God. He's omnipresent, so He's always with us wherever we are. And if we're scattered out in different homes all over the city or all over the country even, He's still there with us. And whenever two or more are gathered in His name, He's promised to be in our midst. I'd like to start off by reading Psalm 121, because I thought it was part of my reading for this morning, my devotions, and I thought it was appropriate. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your helper. I'm sorry, the Lord is your keeper. This is the ESV. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So that's Psalm 121. Now, I'd like to pray with you and with my wife here. We'll pray and ask the Lord's blessing on this time, and then we'll conclude the prayer with the Lord's Prayer as we do in church every Sunday. So Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus, your Son, thanking you for your presence here with us and with believers all over the world, with every person who's watching this video right now. Thank you that you're with us. Pray that you administer to each person, that you would encourage your children, Lord, your sheep, your flock, that you'd feed us and strengthen us and watch over us and cover us in these trying times, Lord. And that you would bless this effort as we're trying to meet together in this new technological way. Bless our efforts, Lord. Be here with us in a special way, we pray. And now let's pray the prayer the Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I'd like to share with you some thoughts today from God's Word. And just some thoughts that relate to what we're going through with this very strange crisis, you know, the COVID-19 or coronavirus plague, if you will, that's hitting the whole world. It's, as I say, very unusual. It's extraordinary that we actually have to do church like this on the internet. Who would have ever imagined it, right? And so I've just been thinking about what would God's Word say? What could I share with you from God's Word that might be of help to us? And as I've thought about this, you know, I've realized there are a lot of preachers nowadays who will just say to you, don't worry, don't fear, things are going to turn out fine. God won't let anything bad happen to us. And they'll quote Psalm 91, you know, and say, because we have this psalm, you know, the Lord is with us and no plague will come nigh our dwelling and God's going to protect us. And of course, there's any number of other verses that could be claimed, quote unquote, as faith promises, as if they'll sort of ward off evil. By the way, I also posted a video on Facebook from another pastor, a man by the name of Mike Winger, I think his name is. And he's a Calvary Chapel pastor out in California, very knowledgeable younger man. And his message was very, very appropriate for these times. So I hope you'll check that out. But because he talks especially about Psalm 91 and how he had some really good insights on how even the Lord Jesus Christ himself quoted, Satan quoted it to him. And then Jesus sort of gave the correct interpretation of that back to the devil. Anyway, the idea that a lot of people have is that if you're a Christian, nothing bad can possibly happen to you. And that's what you probably would expect the pastor to say, right? The other night I was watching the news and one of the talk show guys had a pastor on and he said, in these difficult times, Pastor, what can you tell us? And I prayed a prayer right there. I said, God, you know, give him some wisdom. I wasn't very pleased with what he said, though. I kind of was turned off by it. And, you know, because it seemed to be sort of like platitudes, you know, like on the news, you'll hear people say the Pope called for world peace, right? Well, he called for world peace. Leaders of the world called for calm in these difficult times. Well, that's nice. You know, it's what you expect. But how real is that and how much does it really accomplish? I passed the church marquee that said, Jesus gives hope and encouragement. Again, it's true. Jesus certainly does. I don't think most people know how he does that, or I don't think most people really know how to get a hold of any hope and encouragement. I think for most people, even though it's true, don't get me wrong, it sounds like a platitude. It's kind of Pollyanna-ish. Remember Pollyanna? I mean, she was like, you know, everything was so wonderful. There, everything's going to be fine, right? That's what it kind of sounds like to me. But when people say everything's going to be fine, don't worry, don't fear, don't think anything negative, I don't know, maybe I'm just cynical, but I just want to say, based on what? Where are you getting this idea? Who says everything's going to be fine? How do you know that? You don't know that. Let's face it. We all know bad things happen to so-called good people just as they happen to all people, right? Good things often happen to people that we would say are bad, and bad things often happen to people that we would say are good. Tornadoes hit churches as well as topless bars, right? Have you noticed? And so, you know, it's simply not true that nothing bad can happen to you because you know Jesus or you love Jesus. And so I don't want to give Pollyannish platitudes and just tell you, oh, there, it'll all be fine. Pray for peace, right? Because actually, Jesus promised the opposite. Did you know? Here's your promise scripture for today. John 16:33. Put this one on your refrigerator. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. You got that one on the refrigerator? You got that in the little loaf of bread there on the table where they have those little verses, you know, memory verses? In this world, you will have tribulation. Now, the word tribulation is flipsis. It's hard to say if you have a lisp. It's a Greek word, and it means afflictions, burdens, troubles, pressures, difficulties. Martin Luther said, though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us. And he said, you know, he talks about in that song the different trials. Our helper, Jesus, is our helper amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. So that's the reality that we all know from experience. And the truth is that that's the reality that the Bible teaches us. That in this world you're going to have afflictions, burdens, troubles, pressures, sicknesses, difficulties, right? Crashes. Jesus never said, come unto me and I'll fix everything. So you'll never have any worries or troubles. Now, a lot of preachers seem to think he did, or they preach as though he did, but you know what? I've found they're selling something. That's why they tell you that. Jesus did not say anything like that. Lynn and I, we used to be in churches that taught those kind of things. We were told that if you have faith, you'll be protected. It's sort of like, you know, you got this force field around you, a deflector screen that keeps anything from touching you. But, you know, at the same time, we were told, you have to exercise faith. If you don't exercise faith, it won't work. And that way, the preachers had an out. If anything wrong happened, they'd say, well, you didn't stand in faith. You didn't confess the right thing. You didn't really believe. If you did, this wouldn't have happened to you. And so that ended up being a real bummer, because most of us, stuff would still hit us, and so we'd think there was something wrong with our faith. I mean, if you had a cold, you would think, man, I don't have any faith. I got a cold, right? And so it was a wrong idea, really. It wasn't really a biblical idea to think like that, but we fell for it, and a lot of people do. A lot of people think that. They think of Jesus like a good luck charm, right? And if you get right with Jesus, man, you won't get sick or anything. Or it's like a rabbit's foot, you know, something like that. Don't get me wrong now. Look, please, don't get all upset. I think it's absolutely perfectly right and good to pray for protection from harm. When I head out on my motorcycle every day, I always pray, Lord, please keep me safe. You've been good to me all these years on this motorcycle. I haven't had any serious wrecks. Thank you, God. Please keep me safe. I pray for that. And I think it's right to pray for protection from COVID-19. I think it's right to pray for guidance so that you miss sort of the landmines, if you will, that are out there on the path, right? God, keep me from making stupid mistakes, you know, that'll harm me or others or be a bad witness or something. It's absolutely right to pray for physical healing when we get sick. The Bible tells us to. The Bible even says we should call for the elders of the church to pray for us. Or pray for whatever other needs we may have. We prayed in the Lord's Prayer today. You know, we said, give us our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. In other words, difficult testing. Pray for forgiveness and all those things. It's perfectly right. Jesus even said one time that when the final tribulation comes, you should pray that your flight won't have to be in winter. In other words, pray that it'll be in a better time of the year and you won't be out there freezing when you have to flee persecution. So it's absolutely biblical and right to pray to escape these tribulations and sicknesses and so forth. However, I just got to say, I found that if you believe that it's some sort of guarantee that nothing bad will ever happen to you, you're misunderstanding God's ways and God's plan. And that'll hurt you if you have a wrong understanding. It'll eventually let you down, disillusion you. It'll cause you to struggle and have a hard time in trusting God if you think that way. See, God, he can do absolutely anything, of course, right? And when it's his will to supernaturally protect somebody, he certainly can do that. He can even send an angel to open prison gates. Remember when he did that for Peter? Peter was in prison. He was going to be executed. And God sent an angel who made the chains fall off his wrists, and then he let him out, and the gates of the prison just swung open. They had the first electric doors back then, right? An angel did it. God could do that. And God sent an earthquake when Paul was in prison one time. And it broke the chains off of all the prisoners and opened the gates too. So God can do that. But you know, later Peter was executed. And Paul was also executed. And they were both beaten and persecuted and went through lots of trials before they were executed. And so when it's God's will, he can do these supernatural things and protect the person, and all kind of stuff can come against them and they still make it. Remember, Paul even was bitten by a snake when he was throwing some firewood. There was a storm and they were shipwrecked, and he went out there and was gathering firewood, and he threw some on a fire and a snake bit him. It was hanging on his hand. And so God protected him and he didn't suffer any harm. Did you know that George Washington was in a battle one time, our first president, and afterwards, I think they found like 10 bullet holes in his jacket, but no bullet hit him. And so, I believe, and George Washington believed, that God protected him. Did you know that Abraham Lincoln was riding to the White House on a horse one night, and a bullet came and hit his top hat and took it right off his head, but it didn't hit him. And I tend to believe God protected him from that, see? So it's right. God can protect anyone from any sickness or disease. It's right to pray for protection for it, pray for protection from the plagues and so forth. But there are two other things I believe we need to recognize in the face of this pandemic. First of all, in that verse I quoted you from John 16, I want you to notice the context, because that chapter of John records what happened in the upper room the night that Jesus was arrested, just before he was arrested, in fact. He spoke those words. So he was in the midst of one of the greatest trials. Well, I guess it was the greatest trial of his life. Think about this. He was human, you know, he was divine, but he was also human. And he was about to be betrayed by a close friend, and he knew it. And he was about to be arrested and falsely accused and beaten and slapped and spit upon and mocked. He was going to be insulted and humiliated, then scourged and crucified, tortured to death. Now, he was going to do that for our sins, and we all understand that, of course. But nevertheless, I want you to think about this. He was a totally innocent and righteous person. He never sinned. He always loved God perfectly. He always obeyed God perfectly. He was the only truly and fully good human being that's ever lived. Think about it. The only truly. He himself said no one's good but God. But he was God in human flesh, so he's the only truly and fully good human being that's ever lived. And yet he went through all that, he went through all that hell. And remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane, right after this, he prayed that if it would be possible, God would let the cup pass from him. And of course, you know, the Father let him know in some way that it wasn't possible. That cup wasn't going to pass. He was going to have to drink it. He was going to have to go through terrible suffering. And so on that night, he told his disciples they would have tribulation in the world, right? That's the context. And he himself was going through tribulation right then, and he's about to go through the worst in his whole life, just about the worst that anybody's ever gone through. He said they were all going to forsake him and abandon him. But he also said two very important things in addition to that. First of all, he said, "You're all going to leave me alone, but I'm not alone, for the Father is always with me." That's John 16:32. I'm not alone. The Father is always with me. And he also said this. He said, in the world you're going to have tribulation. But he went on to say, but be of good cheer. And the Amplified Bible says, take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Be undaunted. Because he said, I have overcome the world. See, in the world you'll have tribulation, but don't be afraid or daunted. Take courage, be confident, be certain. I have overcome the world. And the Amplified Bible adds there in parenthesis, it says, I've deprived it of power to harm you, and I have conquered it, conquered the world for you. So as I was thinking about what the Lord would have me share with you, I didn't want to give you a false hope by speaking platitudes that you know good and well I can't back up. When people tell me things will be all right, it's not usually that encouraging to me, because I know they don't know that. They can't prove that. Now, you know, let's say I have a problem with a legal matter or with my car or something, and it's an expert with cars or an expert lawyer, and he says, no, I know about this situation, you're going to be fine. Well, yeah, then I trust them. Okay, maybe it will be fine because they know something. But a whole lot of things, like if you tell me COVID virus can't get you or whatever, or, you know, you go into a battle, you won't be harmed. You can't be harmed. You're a Christian, or, you know, you can't have a financial crisis or whatever. I know that they don't know that. You can't back that up. It's something uncertain. So it doesn't encourage me that much. That's why I prefer the way Jesus gives us comfort here in John 16. Because it's not a platitude, what he speaks to us. And it's not pie in the sky. It's not some kind of fairy tale or a dream or a delusion. You know, it's going to be all right. It's just going to be all right. Think positively. No. When Jesus encourages us, it's based on reality. You know, he walked this earth. He knows what this world is like. He took the worst that this world could throw at him. The worst people, the worst suffering, the greatest injustice, betrayal and everything. He took that. And he knows about those things that we face, the difficulties, the pressures, the fear, the uncertainty. He's not denying those things. He's not telling us they're not real. He's telling us, look at me. You know, he's our example. What does God require of man? The life of Christ. What has God provided for man? The life of Christ. Jesus is our model. He's our example. He's showing us. God's with us. He said, my Father's always with me. He understands what we're going through. We're not alone. He's telling us that he's been through things. And he won't let anything happen to us but what goes through the Father's hands. Just like, if it, you know, the cup. The Father said, you have to drink it, son. But Jesus knew that it was the Father's will for him. So Jesus is telling us nothing's going to come our way but what the Father has allowed it to happen. He's telling us there's an eternal purpose behind what we go through, a purpose we probably won't understand, but a purpose we can trust in. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord. He has overcome the world. He has taken away the sting of things like death, like plagues, like the uncertainties and so forth. Last Thursday in the Bible study, one of the ladies there, Alex, asked about a verse in 1 Corinthians 15. It's verse 19 there because we were looking at that chapter. And Paul said there that if we only have hope in Christ in this life, we're of all people most to be pitied. So Alex asked me, she said, why did Paul say that? That we're most to be pitied if we're Christian and we only have hope in this life. And so I was explaining there that you got to understand the context of that. Paul was moving on up to the east side. You know, he was moving up in Judaism. He was becoming a prominent Jew, a leader, and doing well in his career in Israel. He was an important person. He had a good life. But when he came to Christ, man, he went through horrendous persecution and difficulty. Look, the Bible tells you, I think it's 1 Corinthians 11, that he was shipwrecked, or maybe 2 Corinthians 11. He was shipwrecked 3 times. He was often poor and hungry. Sometimes they didn't have the right clothing for the weather that they were in. He was beaten many times. He was in prison many times. Spent a long time in prison, years. He was hated. He was persecuted over and over. His life was hell. It was difficult. So Paul was saying, if this life is all there is, man, you know, we really made the wrong choice by coming to Christ. We should have just said, eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die, you know. But Paul, he understood that this life isn't all there is. Jesus has redeemed us. He's paid for our sins. He's reconciled us to God. God so loved us, he gave us his Son so we wouldn't perish. We'd have everlasting life. So yeah, in the world you have tribulations. Paul had lots of them. He wasn't protected from all the difficulties by any means. He had more of them than most people have. But he knew, as Jesus did, God was with him. And someday he was going to be with God forever and ever. He knew that Jesus had overcome the world for him. He knew that whatever he went through, there had to be some purpose. And God was working out all things for good through it. And that's what I believe we need to remember in times like this. We can't promise there'll be no sickness. I posted that quote from Martin Luther on Facebook last week about how he lived, you know, during the time of the bubonic plague. It was a plague that killed millions. And he said, I'm going to do everything I can do naturally. I'll wash. I'll do all the stuff I'm told to do. But I'm going to go forward with life. I'm going to minister to people. I'm going to pray for people. I'm going to go visit them and so on. And so, you know, he knew what that was like. We don't have any guarantees in life. Did you know 100,000 Franciscan monks died during the plague? And they were ministering to poor people, ministering to the sick for God, in God's name. Serving the poor and the sick in God's name, and they died. Tell me God won't allow any sickness to come upon believers. But there's one more thing I want to mention as I wrap up. It's something else that I think is very important during a time like this. Last week, I had to do a funeral service for our brother, Bill Chamberlain. And then another one was scheduled for tomorrow, but the folks had to cancel because of COVID-19. But nevertheless, I was preparing to do these funerals. I did one of them. I was going to do another one. And then we had the news that we couldn't meet for church. You know, we have to do it online and stuff. And so this whole thing has really brought me close to death and to mortality. It's gotten me thinking about those things. The people I've been ministering to, they're thinking about those things. People are scared out there in the world. People are thinking about, you know, this plague. Some of us are, and about death and so forth. And I believe that that's a good thing. James says that life is just a vapor. It's like the steam coming out of a tea kettle. It just goes into the air, it's gone. That immortal, invisible hymn we sang said we blossom and flourish like leaves on a tree, but then it said also we wither and we perish. And that's the reality of life, isn't it? In Luke 13, Jesus mentioned some terrible calamities that were happening in the news of his day. You know, they were current events. Some people had died horrible deaths because of these calamities. And those folks of that time were wondering, you know, they thought, well, they died. They must have been really bad sinners. God punished them or something like that. And Jesus said, no, you're totally mistaken thinking that. They didn't die like that because they were worse sinners. No, these things just happen in the world. In the world, you have tribulation. There's death, there's sickness, there's disease, there's accidents, and so on. Jesus said something shocking to them, though. He said, you know what? They weren't worse sinners than anybody else, but I'm going to tell you something. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. It shocked them. You're all going to perish. See, it's not just the victims of terrorism or COVID-19 who are perishing. We're all perishing. That Macedonia song that we started off with talks about the vision of a dying world and of ever-dying souls and how great is the loss of those dying souls. Well, that's what we need to realize. When we see this worldwide pandemic, it's unprecedented. But the truth is, folks, the whole world is already plagued with a worse disease than COVID-19. It's the disease of sin. And the wages of sin are death. We're all already dying. We are perishing. And so one positive side to this worldwide plague of COVID-19 is that it's making some people a little bit more aware of their vulnerability, their fragility. It's making some of us more aware that, as the little saying goes, only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. And so I think we should all be praying that in this time of a worldwide crisis, in which lives are being lost and people are threatened with death, that we'd all come alive. The church would come alive to our responsibility to preach the gospel and live for the Lord Jesus, and that non-Christians would come alive to their need for something beyond just this life, their need for certainty about the afterlife and the future, their need for forgiveness, their need for reconciliation with God. At every funeral, I always say, when we face death, it should make us want to be more alive. A-L-I-V-E. Always live in view of eternity. That's what this plague should do. It should make us always want to live in view of eternity because we're all headed there. And so I believe God can use even this terrible plague. I'm not saying he sent it, please. I'm just saying he can use these things. The Bible says in the last days, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And this is shaking the world. The Bible says God disciplines nations, not just individuals. He's shaking the world right now. Nations are shaking. The economies are shaking. The whole world is shaking. And I believe that God is going to use it to cause people to see their need of God. And I believe we should pray that he does and that people will turn to the Lord. So that's my word of exhortation for you now. Let me say a prayer, a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a final hymn, and that'll be it for tonight or today. Dear Lord, as we are facing this tremendous threat of COVID-19 all over the world, thank you that you didn't promise us there'd never be trials or dangers or difficulties. But you promised us you would be with us. And we know, Lord, that you've overcome the world. And we're thankful that because of that, we know that this world is not all there is. It's just a temporary phase. It's like a stage and a play. It's a testing time. But one day we'll come out of this place of testing and we'll live with you forever. So whatever trials we go through down here, they don't have to weigh on us so heavily. We know they're only light, momentary affliction. Lord, I pray, though, that you'd comfort and encourage your people. Help us all to stand in faith. Help us all to do what you would have us do in this time of crisis. And Lord, we pray for our neighbors and friends and family members, that everyone would be more aware of their need of you, and that you might use this to bring repentance and a turning to God. And that you'd help us as your people to be your agents, to minister to folks who are looking for some comfort and some hope in this time. Help us to be ready should they ask us the reason for the hope within us, and help us to share with them your good news. And do, Lord, keep us safe and strengthen and bless each one, comfort each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so our final hymn will be number 47 in the hymn book, God Will Take Care of You, because I think that's absolutely true and it's a good message for all of us to close with. Amen. So we thank you for being with us, and hope you'll take that to heart. God will take care of you. And believe me, I wanted my wife to say something, but she didn't want to, so it's not that I kept her from it. But please remember to pray for the church and to continue to send in your offerings to whatever church you go to, wherever you are, because it's worship to God, and we need to continue on through this crisis. Till next time, I hope you'll stay tuned, because we'll be doing this for as long as we need to, and next time, hopefully, we'll be on Facebook Live. If we can just figure out how to do that. Till then, may the Lord bless you.